Salam Nerds is brought to you by HalalShirts.com, where you can find fun novelty gifts for your Muslim friends. While you're at it, don't forget to like, comment, share, and subscribe to our channel.
Yo, Salam Nerds! It's your boy Neves, aka Watch With Neves, and I'm here with my co-host Jazz, aka Jazz Vader.
Jazz Vader. Oh, that's unique. Right. It's because I have the red lightsaber, huh?
Yeah, we know you're a Sith, man. You're a Sith Lord.
I cannot deny that, man. I am for love, and I am not for detachments. So, it is what it
also
is.
Also for killing younglings. Go ahead.
Well. I draw the line somewhere, okay? Some Sith may not be that bad.
Okay. That's true. There are some Siths that are like Ronins, right? Like in Star Wars Vision.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not canon, but oh my God.
Doesn't matter.
That.
It counts. Okay? That's what I'm based off of, all right?
But man, we got a lot of stuff to cover because speaking of younglings, we got some cool flashbacks in this episode. And mm-hmm. The whole episode starts off with, there's some flashback with the younglings, but also a flashback with our dude, Hayden Christensen. And we get to see him in the flesh. And it's pretty cool, man. It was really cool to see. It was a nice, cool little training montage. And the entire training montage was basically like, it kind of just paced that entire episode. Mm-hmm. You see the stuff happening throughout the show, and you see the way he trains and the way Anakin fights. He's telling, and Obi-Wan is someone who knows Anakin so well, and it came in handy. So it was a cool thing to see. What do you think about the flashback?
I'd like to officially, as of this moment, take back everything I said about Deborah Chow. In the last
yeah.
All right, I Muhammad Usman Ijaz, aka Jazz, aka Jazz Vader, take back everything I said last week. Episode delivered really well, and this added so much to the lore, not only for Kenobi but also Anakin.
I
said, the fighting montage, it was beautifully done throughout the episode, right?
Kenobi knew
Anakin. He did train him, so he knew his weaknesses. But also, I was surprised at how much Anakin knew about Kenobi.
Yeah.
Because before, when he was like, hey, call off Third Sister, Kenobi's mm-hmm. defeated. And then you actually see Kenobi's like visually just be defeated. It's like, oh, wow. Oh, maybe Vader may actually have the edge here. I mean, obviously he didn't, but... It was really cool to see that both Master and Apprentice knew each other. Master and Padawan knew each other so well.
Yes.
I'm really glad about this episode. I take back everything I said last week.
Well, the thing is, like we had issues with some of the the choices they had for acting. But like, I was never mad at the pacing of the shows because they were telling a story. And sometimes you know it's a good payoff. Mm-hmm. Right, like if you watch shows like Breaking Bad and like some like Walking Dead, there are shows in between that kind of builds up to that payoff, right? It's a big thing, and like we're not all here just for like cameos and fight scenes. Like that's not what Star Wars is, you know. Star Wars is stories, and mm-hmm. that's what we care about. And sometimes all you got to do is be a little patient, man. If people were a little patient, it would have worked out. And, you know, we should have trusted in Chow. We should have trusted her. Yep. I'm very happy with the way it worked out. But, man, there were some good reveals, man. There were some good reveals. But mm-hmm. we're going to get to that later. But before we get to that, I do want to give a shout out to Kamil Nanjiani, our brown dude, coming back.
We got to get him on the show, man. I want to invite him on the show one day.
Listen, I'll invite anybody. We got to shoot our shots, man. You miss 100% of the shots you never take.
Mm-hmm. Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah. / Michael Scott. No. It was really cool, man. And in Princess Leia, again, yo, coming in the clutch.
Mm-hmm. Once you remove that one wire. Yep.
And you know what I love? I love, like, how Kenobi and Leia went through this like ordeal, and they just now trust each other. Because he was like, "I trust her. Let her do what she's gonna do.
No
doubt. She's 10 years old. Mm-hmm. She's 10 years old, but she's capable, more capable than anybody here." And she was like, "Go ahead, Leia, do your thing." And mm-hmm. I love that. This whole series is so good, man. It's so good. And like, I just love the way they built the relationship with Leia Like, that's my favorite part of the whole thing. Like, you take away this, like, episode, I still walk away happy because of the whole mythos of Leia and Ben that they have added layers to their friendship. Like, that alone makes me so happy. So it's really, really cool. But she was a little badass, man. She's a little badass. I love her.
Well, yeah. Speaking of badasses, man, we got to see Vader's power here.
Oh, like, my God.
When he just force brought the ship back, I was like, I was just shocked at how much power Vader has.
I was like, no, they're not doing this. Yeah. So like, I've seen Vader do that in like fan trailers and fan stuff, mm-hmm. right? And it's always like far out there. And I was like, it was always like adding to like, oh yeah, Vader can be this powerful. But it was never canon because they were just old fan made.
Right.
But like you saw this and you're like, oh shit. Vader is the best villain to ever exist in mm-hmm. media. Period.
100%.
Like, period.
100%. The way he ripped that ship apart, just rip.
It was.
If
so
there was another
good.
Ship, I mean, they were absolutely screwed there.
Like it was paper mache. Like mm-hmm. it was crazy. And it, you know, Vader is the badass, man. And like it's one of those things where like he was already a badass in from Rogue One, and I was like, nothing can top Rogue One. I was wrong. I did not think anything could top that. Yeah, not only did he rip that ship apart and like force hold it and bring it back down like a little bee, but like the fight between him and Reva, holy crap. Like he was Mayweather. He was dodging everything. He was like
toying with her at that point. Like he was like
It was like Muhammad Ali's rope-a-dope where he like dodges 17 punches in 6 seconds. Like, it's like that. Yeah. Yo, I'm telling you, man. Vader, oh my God. I love it. Vader yeah. is badass. I am so happy.
They delivered. So happy with this episode. But, as you're talking about Reva there, man. Oh my God.
Yo, the twist.
The twist.
That is like... That's the twist that puts M. Night Shyamalan to shame, man. I was like, what? What? And, like, I had a feeling, but I didn't know that's what it was going to be. And you're like, why is she so gung-ho? Like, you know she had some motivation. You knew there was a reason she was doing this, but you couldn't figure out why. And then when you find out, you're like, whoa, this is insane. This mm-hmm. is Count of Monte Cristo-type revenge, right? That's, mm-hmm. like... crazy. Like, I loved it, man. Amazing.
I did not expect Reva to be a youngling. Like, that threw me off. Yeah, and then no she talked to Kenobi, just like, yeah, it's me. What are you gonna do about it?
Yeah.
Why can't I trust you? Like, she flipped it on also, him so quick. I was like,
yeah.
She's right.
Also, the acting in that scene was amazing. Yeah. Like, who are these people that are saying she isn't a great actor? And you know what? Now you know why she wasn't a... So now it actually adds theories. Because people who are saying she wasn't doing a good job acting, she technically was acting as her character. Like, she is a facade.
Of anger,
she's
yeah.
acting, yeah, so she's acting as a Reva. So, like, she's not herself. She's playing this part to get close to Vader.
Third sister, yeah. She's acting as a third sister,
Right?
Yeah.
And like that adds so many layers to her acting. And then when she talks to Obi-Wan, you see her like almost like break character. And mm-hmm. you're like, whoa. Like the way they're talking is like there's gravitas there. There's like more gravity here. And you're like, this was a plan the whole time. This whole time she was playing somebody. And it's like amazing. It's amazing. Yeah.
No, I love totally it. Get why Mose Ingram was cast for this, but the hate people gave her, like you said, it's gotta be patient. And that's something I know I struggle with, like, lately. If I don't like the show in the first, like, you know, 8 episodes, what I normally give it now. And I know we talked about it last week when it was only 4. You know, for the sake of the podcast, like, I do have to, like, give an opinion at that point.
Sure.
But, right, normally I do want to give... And I think this show has really reinvigorated my love for a longer story. Right? This payoff was just beautiful. It's even though it's only 5 episodes. Just last week I was upset, but this week I'm just like, oh, that's worth it.
Yeah.
That's worth it.
It's good, man. I like that. The other thing is I feel like Book of Boba might have left a bad taste in people's mouth, and when the first few episodes were a little slow, because Book of Boba didn't have as great of a payoff as you wanted. Like it did, but it's also like Mandalorian had a lot to do with it. It wasn't like Boba Fett's payoff. It was like the Book of Boba Fett and the Mandalorian came and saved that show at the end, right? And like I get it, like Boba Fett did do a lot of stuff, but it didn't feel like he got his flowers. Whereas in this show, like everyone's getting their flowers. Leia's getting her flowers, Reva's getting her flowers, Obi is getting his flowers, and Darth Vader is getting his dark ass flowers. That was so badass.
Black roses.
I like that. Black roses.
Straight up. Oh man.
It's one of those things where like it just adds so much to Star Wars. But like you like I don't know what to say. Like part of me wants this and this is amazing, but I also want new stories. I want new characters, new stories and stuff like that. And I'm hoping that's what we get eventually with some of these other shows. Cause like it's weird because like Spider-Man No Way Home and Obi-Wan Kenobi, I don't like when things depend too much on nostalgia.
Yeah.
But also I'm a sucker for nostalgia. Like I do love it. It's
we all
awesome.
Love it. But like yeah, you're right. Yeah. It's like you can't just keep pushing the nostalgia dopamine button, right? Like
I know.
We're gonna run out eventually.
Yeah.
You can't just keep printing money. You gotta time this properly.
It's like inflation.
Right. Like it's not gonna be worth as much in the near future.
Yo, we're gonna get nostalgia inflation. Like that's what it's gonna happen.
It won't that's hit so as funny. Hard and it won't go as far and we're gonna be back to being depressed sooner.
We're gonna be like the Tyrone Biggins, like yo, you got that nostalgia, bro? You got that nostalgia? It's like crack to us.
Yeah, you got any more nostalgia?
Yo, you know times are bad, but nostalgia is like the equivalent of crack to us.
I know. What is up with society, dude?
We live in a society where nostalgia is crack.
Is this the only thing keeping us going?
It might be, man. It might be. Times are hard. We got to live in the past.
That's how you know we're like 80s and 90s kids, man. Like,
yeah, man. We are. Also, I want to give a shout out to Tala, man. Tala came through. Yeah. She had that death scene where she, it was a good scene, man. She went out with a bang for lack
quite
of
literally.
No pun intended.
No, that was definitely a pun there. There's no way that was.
But like, you know what I really loved? I love how the robot protected her as she was dying, and the robot couldn't talk, and she was like, "Action speaks louder than words." That was like one of her lines, and like the robot literally just like died protecting her, and it was just so good, man. I loved it, to death.
One of the few things where an inanimate object can make me cry.
Yeah, there's a funny line from Jeff Winger in Community, and he's like, humans are such unique creatures because you can take a pen, name that pen Steve, and then you break it in half, and we automatically sympathize with that pen. We feel for that pen, and we're one of the only animals in the entire world that can sympathize with an inanimate object, and it's such a powerful tool because you don't realize that our superpower as humans is simply empathy, and that's pretty cool.
Which, I don't know if you've heard, like, or seen that meme where it's like, there's a Roomba. And then there was a storm outside and the lightning went off, right? And the Roomba freaked out. And the owner was like, oh my God, come here. Let me hold you. And she was caressing the Roomba. She felt so bad for it. She pack bonded with a vacuum cleaner. But that's what we do.
We do, man. What else happened in the show? Oh, I love the fact that they set Reva up from the beginning. Like, Vader was like, yeah, I knew this the whole time. And
like, he knew. Like,
yo, Vader is a bastard, man. that's savage. Kept her around, got her, and like, she even faked the death of the Grand Inquisitor, which I don't understand how that even happened because the lightsaber went right through him, didn't it?
It did, yeah, it did. How did Homie survive? How they fake that.
Number one, I don't know how they fade that. Number two, like, yo, Vader's such a bad boss. He's like, yo, you're going to take one for the team?
You're going to get stabbed. No big deal.
You're going to get stabbed through the chest. You're going to take it like a little bitch because that's what I'm asking you to do.
Boss of the Year award right there, right? Like,
we need to get him a number one boss like mug where he can just like...
the Hayden Christensen.
It's so good, man.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen. I hope in the next episode explain how he survived, because that is truly a plot hole there. Like, I don't see how he could have survived without some really Jedi magic or something. Like, there's no way.
Yeah, I don't know how that could be, unless he was, like, force healed by somebody, because we know that Rey can force heal people.
Yes.
I don't see Vader wasting a force heal on Grand Inquisitor. He's like, I don't give a fuck. Hey, I don't see him doing that.
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know how that happened, man. But we'll see. But I don't know, man. Overall, great episode. Can't complain. I have no notes. I don't even have anything to talk about, because like, I feel like I'm just so satisfied that like the episode just speaks for itself.
You're right. If you watch it, there's like, oh, how do I explain this? It's just like, it's complete, right? It's complete. That's the word I'll use for it.
Yeah.
Like, except for very ending. Of course, they opened that one little thread there. But like,
right.
This episode is complete. We got...
And like, Reva didn't die either. So like, I guess that's how they explained the Grand Inquisitor didn't die. The fact that like Reva also didn't die. I guess like you can survive a stab wound as long as it didn't go through any arteries or something, maybe. I don't know.
Oh, I guess it would make sense because like it's a lightsaber, right? It would cauterize any wound, so you're not bleeding out.
And like when they chop off people's hands, it also like
You're not like gushing blood. You're right. It's just done.
Huh.
So I think that's what it is then. Yeah, I think they may just hit like a non-vital organ.
Yeah.
Or they didn't hit any organs at all. It just like goes like right through, you know, like an intestine or something, right? But then your intestine's still gonna work because like they can go right around it. And then I think that's what it is. I think there was just low enough not to hit anything vital.
Mm, true. All right. I'll buy that. I subscribe to that notion that like these lightsabers just cauterize all the wounds and that's how people survive. It's canon.
It makes sense, right? Like if you had a laser for a like a knife to cut bread, right? The bread would be toast the moment you're done with this.
Yeah. Yo, those are real. I've seen that. Or maybe they're not real, and I've seen them in I feel like I've seen them in a Sharper Image magazine or something.
That sounds about right.
I'm like dating myself because Sharper Image doesn't exist anymore.
No. It hasn't existed for like 15 years.
What? You can't buy those at Radio Shack? Like, I don't...
You can't get them from Circuit City? What? Crazy Eddie's like electronic store.
Yeah, it's like right next to Nobody Beats the Wiz. Like,
oh, we're really giving our ages away here.
Yeah, after you pick up a movie from Blockbuster. Oh, nostalgia.
Good times.
It's a drugs. Give me more.
This is a drug, right? Give me more.
Give me that nostalgia. Oh man.
See, listen, Disney, you can't keep doing this shit to us, alright?
I know. We're crack addicts, man. You give us a little and like we're done. We're just like,
they know what they're doing,
nostalgia.
They know what they're doing.
There should be like a movie or a cartoon show that's like the premise is that like nostalgia is like crack. Like I would watch that.
I think they did a Black Mirror episode like this or something.
Oh really? Maybe they did. I think
they did, yeah. I haven't seen like all of it, but yeah, I think they may have.
Black Mirror is just our future. Like Star Wars, we'll never get to that. Black Mirror, we can get to that in like a few years. It's scary.
I believe it. I believe it, man.
Actually, you know what? Star Wars isn't the future. Star Wars is a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. It's actually the past. Yeah.
Wow. After all this time, like we humans still haven't learned from our mistakes and we keep fucking up the same mistakes over and over.
So the rumor is, and it's not canon, but it's a theory that I heard, that we humans go all the way to the future, and we basically what happens is like it's about to be the end of the world, but right before the world ends, we discover time travel, and we send a bunch of people back in time, and we're reliving generations. So the Star Wars generation, the people, the humans that live there,
so
are
it's
actually
our future
us.
Past.
Yeah. It's like past future. It's like weird. Like, like say like in the next 100 years, we discover time travel and the world is about to end in that year. And then we, instead of, you know, going to a different planet or a universe, we just send ourselves back to the past with all our knowledge of technology and stuff. And now the past is more advanced than the future. So we're just reliving our whole lives over and over again.
Hmm. So what you're saying is I need to invest in Bitcoin before it crashes at the next time we go to the past. Got it.
Actually, no, in Star Wars, they have credits. So once they discover credits, we have to invest in those.
Mm, okay, got it.
Yeah, and also we got to
invest in the crypto portfolios, everybody.
And what's that metal that the Mandalorians have? Beskar. We got to invest in Beskar. Mm-hmm.
Beskar mines, yep. Yeah,
buy some Beskar.
Actually, you know what? Since we're in this universe and we know Star Wars canon in like the Marvel universe, we also got to get some adamantium. We also got to get some...
Vibranium.
Vibranium, yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about the show. Let's go back to the show. What do you think is going to happen? Predictions, theories, what's up?
I don't know, because at the end we saw Reva find the clip of Bail Organa saying, "Do they know about the kids?" Right?
Yeah. And then
what can she tell Vader? Like, she's surviving. Like, or like,
I don't, because I thought they dropped a communicator, and she was going to like hit up Obi-Wan and be like, "Hey, Obi-Wan, come pick me up." But no, it was like this distress thing. And
it was a recorded message, right?
Yeah, a recorded message. And then we see Luke just sleeping in bed, like, doesn't know what's happening. Leia's fucking out here saving the world as a 10-year-old, mm-hmm. and like Luke's taking a nap. Like,
yes.
Like, you know,
we
like,
know
it's
who
funny.
Superior sibling is now.
Yo, for sure, man, for sure. Like, Leia is like here. Luke is like here. Like, mm-hmm. let's be real. Like, I love that they did that, because like everyone's like, "Oh, she's a princess. She was in distress. Luke did all the work." No,
no.
Homegirl was 10 years old, saving the world, pulling out breakers and stuff. Yo, and then like resisting interrogation. Like,
mm-hmm. not only interrogation, Leia. she resisted Vader's interrogation. And he's the strongest Force user, like, at the beginning of New Hope.
Oh, at the beginning of New Hope. Yeah, at the beginning of New Hope.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, yeah. Like, Leia is not just a princess. She's a badass. You're right. In this one, it was Reva's interrogation, right? It wasn't Vader's. But, yeah, in the future, it was Vader's, because she was like, "Oh, yeah, this is my droid. No big deal."
No, but, like, I will never get over the sass where she's like, "Yeah, we're on the same side, right?"
like... You and Reva little, just lost it at that moment.
You little. Oh, man.
Oh, she's so smart. I love it.
Yeah, okay. Reva was like, "Game recognizes game." I love that, man.
Sharing contest. So
good. Yeah, are we in a sharing contest? The sass on that little girl.
Yeah,
protect that little girl at all costs. Protect that little girl at all costs. I don't care.
I mean, at this point, I am a much bigger fan of Leia than I am Luke. Luke
me
is
too. Me too.
Crybaby, like, who doesn't do shit?
Yo, I'm telling you, man. Leia is the unsung hero of, like, the... I don't even think she's the unsung hero. She's just the hero, period.
She's a hero.
She's just six slaves. And it's so sad that, like, what happened to Carrie Fisher, because, like, they had to do the best they could with the, CGI and stuff. But the Rise of the Skywalker should have had more of her. Should have had a different story. She should have been more involved. But, like, still, man, this was a great way to honor the character. Just amazing.
Yeah, just give her a much greater legacy. Yeah, like, thank you for what they've done. Like, that is one thing I will give Disney. They are adding so much more to all of everyone's legacy here. Like, it's been great.
Yeah. No, man, I am super
except for Luke. Screw you.
Poor Luke. Actually, no, poor that's Luke. Not true.
No,
that's not
screw
true
him.
No, I disagree with you, because like they even added to Luke's legacy in The Mandalorian when he comes in the hallway scene that I got like on my wall right here, like when he's, that was a great scene. They added that didn't exist in his legacy.
Yeah, but I'm not happy with like Luke in the Mandalorian or in Book of Boba Fett.
Like, I mean, that's the way it's gonna go. Like,
I know it's CGI. I know it's all like fake, but I don't like it.
I don't mind it.
Okay, let me phrase. It's not that I don't like Luke. I'm hating what they're doing with the character.
Oh, do you mean the whole Last Jedi thing where they make him like? I don't mind it. I feel like he's right, because the Jedi is like a bad religion.
Like, I hate how they're making him so robotic, because I remember him being so like full of emotions and whatnot, right? Now they're making a robot. That's what I'm upset about.
I don't mind, but isn't that what the Jedi mythos is? To like have like no attachments.
They are traumatized to the point where they let go of everything. I know. I get it. I hate it.
I mean, you hate that they're doing that, but like that's what the Jedi's do, right? And that's why they're not that great. And that's why it's not a clear cut. It's not like good guys and bad guys. It's like one crazy religion, and one fundamentalist crazier religion. Like, it's just like the same thing, man.
Oh yeah, like when we say only a Sith deals in absolutes, that itself is an absolute.
Yeah, yeah, that's true, right? Isn't it? That's crazy. I don't know, Matt. But did you hear the news with Taika Waititi? And he was like, he's going to make a Star Wars movie. And he's going to say, like, I don't want it to do anything with any Star Wars characters. I'm going to make brand new characters, brand new
everything. Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Thank God. I'm tired of the nostalgia printing machine, man. I need a break.
Like, how many times are we going to go to Tatooine? Like right. It's too much. And the other thing is, like, I want different genres of Star Wars movie, right? Like, I want, like, a Star Wars horror, a Star Wars comedy. It, like, the same way, like, Disney is doing, right? Sorry, not Disney. Marvel. Like, mm-hmm. Multiverse of Madness, legit horror movie. Mm-hmm. Captain America, The Winter Soldier, spy thriller. Miss Marvel, wholesome family show. Like, mm-hmm. I love that they're doing this, right? Well, anyway, thanks everybody for joining us. This has been a fun episode. Hope you guys are enjoying Star Wars. We got one more episode left. And until then, guys, salam, nerds.
Peace, nerds.